It's spoiler in time, folks, and on this show, we are going to talk about Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, the 2016 series, except season 2, episode 8, and Counterpart, season 2, episode 8. How likely is that? Well, very, because we're in control of what we watch and when we watch it on Spoiler in Time. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Yeah, man, we like to keep it easy. You want to see how easy we keep it? Here, let's check in on the winter movie draft. Get ready, Tom.
Okay, I'm ready.
And John Trekker's still in first.
Congratulations, John Trekker. That's it for the winter movie draft. Check in. Nothing changed, sadly, for us. Hmm. Not sadly for John Trekker, though.
Except for his lead.
Shall we move on to Counterpart?
Yes, indeed.
The Emily Battle. Battle of the Emilies is this episode's name. It's not really its name.
For a split second in this episode, mm-hmm. I thought they were going to give us a real bombshell mm-hmm. of saying the two Emilies swapped places decades ago.
I thought so too.
And I was so on board with that idea. I found that
fascinating. Because we already knew our Emily was slipping over to the other side. So right. I was like, well, okay, you got to be telling me something bigger than that. And I absolutely thought that's where we were going to.
Well, but then again, they made it a surprise to Emily Prime when she saw the photos of our Emily over on their side. So that would have been inconsistent. But outside of that, that would have been a neat, like, total reframe. Like, okay, we got to come clean on some certain stuff. But instead, it's just like it lacked the punch, sucker punch of a game changer. Instead, it was like, oh, so I guess the old Emily that is now forgotten by the new Emily post, you know, wake up, snuck across the border to visit her fake ghost daughter. All right. You know, it lacked quite as much zazz as I was hoping for.
It was also a reprise at this point in the story of what happened to the guy who created the split, right? He kept sneaking over to the other side and hanging out with the family where his son was still alive.
Yeah. And we saw continued development with what's his name and the spy. That's a good title for a 70s action cop.
Claire is the wife's name.
Claire
and
Quayle. Yeah. Peter Quayle. Yeah.
Who is also in The Wife, by the way.
We saw I'm not entirely sure what to make of where they're at right now. Like, you could tell that he's challenging her on, like, you do realize you were a brainwashed kid. And she's like, no, you just don't understand. I don't know how much longer I've got patience to watch her figure it out that she was brainwashed. But I did really dig that argument sucker punch when he's like, you keep saying make a better world. This is, you're talking about one world, not two, you know? Yeah. And it's like, legit point. If you told me at the beginning of this series that Peter Quayle would have the most evolved sense of this whole thing of all the characters, like, he's the one that's risen above the game. Everyone else is still stuck in the game of Go that we see in the opening title sequence. He's the one that's risen above it and says, this is madness. This is nonsense. We need to solve this.
Yeah. And I hadn't even thought about it in this way till you just articulated it, but his argument with Claire is less about unbrainwashing her from the prime side, from the indigo stuff, and more about unbrainwashing her from that entire game, right? Like, if you see it that way, it becomes a little more interesting for me to say, oh, he's just trying to get her to stop playing altogether. Like, forget playing for the indigo side or playing for our side. Let's just not play the game. Why are we even at indigo? Which she explained, like, oh, because nobody will come here anymore. But he's like, let's just get GTFO.
Yeah, and you know, but GTF where is the question?
GTFW.
In fact, wherever they go, you know, as long as there's, it makes me feel like the only way the story ends is with the closing of the door permanently. I forget which character suggested that, but that does seem to be like it will only be war forever. Until that gate is closed forever.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Like, will it be closed forever, or will one side annihilate the other world somehow? Or is there a way to merge them back together, or reset, or something even more outlandish than that?
Or I'll tell you what, I could totally see next season, hey, we figured out how to make gates everywhere. Well, that's do we just open up all the gates and become one world with two faces? You know, if you're going to follow the parallel of East and West Germany to that point, then that seems like a logical conclusion because it seems to have worked out pretty well for
tear down this wall.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. That could be interesting, too, for sure. The one thing I did like is we've been led for a while that the Emily Prime and R. Howard seem to be getting along better, and R. Emily and Howard Prime seem to be getting along better. And then that fell apart when he beat the crap out of the people sent to assassinate Emily. And she immediately were like, oh no, my Howard can't do that. Who are you?
Who are you? Yeah. Although likewise, I did find it very sweet. Even though he was delirious with a gunshot wound in him, R. Howard, you know, being cared for by his ghost daughter.
That was
a sweet moment.
Yeah. No, there were some nice moments in this. And like you say, I am less annoyed every week by Peter Quayle, almost to the point of liking him. And it's interesting to watch him and Claire sort of realize that, wow, maybe they actually do love each other despite previous deceptions. You know, maybe they do belong together. Maybe they are a family. And which world are you talking about? Because, hey, my daughter was born over here and she's, you know, one of her parents she's half this world and born here. So, you know, maybe not pick a world. It just makes me think like, okay, where are we going with this battle between the worlds?
Is she the first cross planet child that we found?
I think
found?
That we know of. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really interesting because I could see Spencer becoming an increasing plot point focus as the anchor, as the justification of, hey, man, this is why the war has to end. And, you know, beautifully, that's why many wars end is sure. That there's people fall in love with each other and have babies. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're like, do I really want to kill their grandparents? Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. All right. Anything else on Counterpart?
No, enjoying it. This was a fairly, it was almost a real gut punch of an episode, but instead it was a solid step forward in the story.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, episode 208, in which we are still in Windermore for the majority, although not the entirety, because we do catch up with Farrah back in the real world. And Dirk Gently finally shows up and realizes his role and finally figures out who the boy is and kind of sets us up as we were wondering, like, oh, are we just going to wrap up Windermore in this episode and then move on to the next plot for a season that will never exist? But instead, it looks like we have to figure out how to get back to Blackwing and solve the problem of the boy.
Yeah, I think once we realized we had four episodes and not two episodes ahead of us, we correctly called it. This is the one where we find out there's another boy, that it's the guy, the old man in Blackwing. Then next episode will have to be a heist episode, and then kind of the end, and then we'll still see if they set up another season or something on there. Here's a fun, weird fact. Despite the outrageous trappings of Windermore, I've thought that between the sound design and the acting and the choreography and stuff, they've done a good job of making you feel like that world has teeth, you know, with gunshots and bloodshed and so on. But weirdly, I had my 6-year-old on my lap for half of this episode. And when I looked at it through the eyes of a 6-year-old, it's a very cartoonish, silly, pro wrestling world. you know, they're getting ready to, you know, to kill or cut off the heads of two of our characters or whatever. And then, you know, and Callie was starting to get tense and I was like, oh, don't worry about it. These are two major characters. They're not going to die. I bet like last minute a bunch of people come in and save the day. And then sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And then once I was looking at it through the eyes of my 6-year-old, the previously credible violence looked very silly. Looked, I mean, very, very silly.
When you have someone set up for execution by scissors.
Well, and you know, you start to squint and you can really feel that the scissors are made of foam rubber and, you know, and that nobody is a really talented martial artist. Yeah. That they're just sort of running around with their arms above their head. It was a wild departure to look at it the way a kid would.
Well, and probably just in time, right? Because we're about to leave Windermere and take on Blackwing again. There's also the Farrah and Where Is Sherlock story, and the mage who's like, I don't want to be in Windermere anymore. I assume we're going to have some big showdown where the mage tries to take over control of our world, and our team will have to come together to stop him in the real world, and possibly her if she comes back out of Windermere. Wouldn't be too surprised if she follows everyone out to Blackwing.
This whole season, I would say the greatest disappointment I have is just what a waste of story we have on the Blackwing side of things. We got this super scary Wash character who does literally nothing at all, and a really dumb Captain America leading him,
it is provided at least some character arc for the taxi driver, you know, for our old friend, the hacker.
I mean, if it could be said to be...
Because he's slowly taking over.
Well, yes.
And I assume all of that buildup of Priest's deadliness and his being in charge is going to pay off in the final battle somehow.
Yeah, I would hope so. But man, they've invested a lot of kind of nothing without really giving us any reason. Like, they've told us over and over how big and bad he is, and it's implied by the fact that they have the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater in a cage that they're pressing a torture button on. But again, awful lot of telling, very little showing.
Yeah. For any of that. That's true. And you need to have him because you need to have a credible threat for our heroes when they try to get to the boy, right? Somebody needs to be able to stop him. So that's why he's there. But you're right, we haven't really seen him do anything. He just talks a big game.
Yeah, and also it was a little bit arbitrary that we spent, you know, 4 episodes watching cab driver get tortured, and then a switch is flipped, and 2 episodes later he's running everything, clearly. Like, that was a little bit abrupt, and I would have liked to see more of an evolution of that. But again, you know, what are we going to do?
Although, I don't know if it would have been believable that he didn't take over so fast when we had such an inept person in charge, right? The problem is more with Captain America than it is with the cab driver. It's like you couldn't not have him immediately take control because that guy is so inept. There's no way he wouldn't.
So cartoonishly inept. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the whole thing about the person who could become an inanimate object? It's implied that the squeeze doll is a totem.
I'm not sure where that's going to fit in. The woman who could be a chair.
Yeah. That was a bit really random. And again, more telling than showing. Would have liked to have watched her turn into a chair. Then I would have grokked it.
Well, they probably didn't have the effects budget, right?
I
feel like I'm missing something from earlier episodes that makes that make more sense to me. And maybe it's just because she's the one who told Dirk to find the boy, right? And that's why she had so few words, because she likes being an inanimate object and you can't really talk a lot.
Sure. It did start to feel a little bit like a Sid and Marty Krofft production at some point. It felt
in Windermere, for sure.
Straight out of late 70s. And maybe that's exactly what it was inspired by. But
especially those little things that are just talking in computer noises.
Yes. You know? Yes. And then and even the gremlins with their or whatever.
No, I think that's intentional. You decide whether it works for you or not. But yeah.
Yeah. Again, really excited to see where it ends up. Last week, I was stoking my emotional fires of feeling righteous indignation that the show didn't get repicked up. Right around now, I'm like, I can see why this wouldn't get picked up.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we feel at the end.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting because my feeling has been for a while that this is a fun season, and I just look at it as a show that went for 2 seasons. And would I have liked more? Probably.
I am bummed. I'm hungry for Sherlock. Sherlock was the best character this whole season.
Yeah, and we also didn't get the assassin girl this time.
The assassin girl.
Yeah, the assassin, the Dirk Gently's better half who tries to kill him.
Bart,
thank you, yes.
What's funny is I was thinking like a fishhook girl. She had like a cameo in Counterpart.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else on Dirk Gently?
No, I guess excited to see how they wrap everything up.
And we are excited to talk about it with you in future Spoiler and Times. Once again, don't forget, if you want to know how to watch all these things, you got to subscribe to Cord Killers, our main show that tells you how to watch the things and what services and what shows are coming. And then watch some cool stuff and come here and enjoy talking about it with us at Spoiler and Time. And you get it all through patreon.com/cordkillers. Spoil you again next week.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.